Let us pray. God, we come to you now, and as we reflect on this story of the star, of the magi, of the gifts, may you open our eyes to what all of those things point to, and that is you. God, use me today, use the words that I say to guide us deeper into your truth so that we may become more like your Son, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. When my wife was pregnant with our daughter and we discussed names, it didn't take long before we found one that we wanted to name her, Aurora. And this was for a couple different reasons, but one of the main ones was Aurora reminded us of the Aurora Borealis, the northern lights. Here's an image on the screen of the northern lights over the Norwegian coast. And if you look online, there are many beautiful photos of the Aurora Borealis or the northern lights. But obviously, these would pale in comparison to actually being able to go somewhere and to see these lights for yourself with your own eyes. Which reminds me, on a much smaller scale, here in the greater Toledo area, we don't get to see as many stars. It seems like there are bright lights shining all around us, from stores to hospitals to car dealerships to restaurants. And all those lights dim our ability to see the many, many stars that are in our sky. I can remember a handful of years ago when I had moved to a new appointment in Arcanum in Dark County, a rural area, and it was within the first couple days of living there. I had went outside at night, and I was like, wow, it's kind of, I just, in my mind, I thought, it's kind of bright outside for this late, but then I looked up into the sky, and there were so many stars that were shining. There just wasn't a lot of other lights around to take away from their glow. And I remember looking up and my eyes got big and my mouth opened and all I could say was, whoa. It had been so long since I had seen that many stars in the sky. And we find our scripture today starting with this focus on a star, these wise men, these magi from the east, following this star at its rising. Now, there are many speculations as to what this star could have been. The theologian N.T. Wright says that Halley's Comet came around, 12 or 11 B.C., so that would have been a little bit early for this story. Some people speculate that it could have been a supernova, while N.T. Wright shares that more likely it was that the planets, Jupiter and Saturn, were in conjunction with one another. This had happened three times in 7 B.C. And since Jupiter was viewed as a royal planet or the kingly planet, and Saturn was sometimes looked at as to represent the Jewish people, the conclusion would have stood out to the Magi that a new king of the Jews was about to be born. And as I said before, we are not sure exactly what this star was. Was it a comet? Was it a supernova? Was it due to planets being in conjunction with one another? But it's important for us to focus on what the star pointed to, what the star revealed. Now, the star is mentioned four times within this passage. And Matthew doesn't bring up the star multiple times just to fill us with astronomical curiosity or to just give us a warm, fuzzy feeling about the star and the Magi. But Matthew brings up the star several times, once again, to point to who the star is seeking to reveal. So within our scripture today, we find the Magi following the star and then going to King Herod and asking him, where is the one born king of the Jews? This clearly puts a nervous King Herod on edge. He quickly rallies the chief priests and teachers because he wants to find out where this new king is. And this was not with good intentions. King Herod was not planning on finding out the location so he could throw a nice baby shower for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. He wanted to find out where Jesus was because he wanted to eliminate the threat. You see, Matthew was making a very clear and a very powerful political point. Matthew was making clear that it was Jesus that was the true king of the Jews, and that Herod was a false king. He was a puppet. He was an imposter. And so this doesn't sit well with King Herod. And even though King Herod dies shortly after Jesus' birth, his sons would continue to rule for many years. And one of them, Herod Antipas, played a significant role in the story of Jesus. So throughout this story of the kings of Herod, they were quick to reject the idea of anyone else being called the king of the Jews. And while this theme of being the king of the Jews is very significant to our story today, it's also important to look at the Magi, where they came from. You know, Magi many times signifies magicians or astrologers, that they were experts in interpreting dreams or even strange things happening around them. And it says that the Magi came from the east. Very vague. But what it does is it shows us that while, yes, this truth that Jesus is the king of the Jews, that his reign, his rule, goes beyond just the Jewish people. That Jesus had come as the Messiah to bring God's justice and peace, not just to the Jewish people, but to the entire world. Which we find Matthew emphasizing at the end of his gospel, when Jesus is telling his disciples to go into all the world and to make disciples of every nation. And so we find the Magi, after meeting with King Herod, following the star until it reaches its destination. And the scriptures say they were overjoyed with anticipation and excitement. I'm sure part of that was reaching the culmination of their journey, reaching the end of their journey. But more importantly, it is where that star led them to, who they were about to encounter. When the Magi entered the home, when we look at the scriptures, we see they do not immediately present Jesus with their gifts. The first thing they did was they knelt down and they paid him homage. Only after this act of worship, only after surrendering to Christ, do they present these physical, material gifts. Why is this important? Why does Matthew mention this? For one reason, I think it's to show that if the Magi had went and taken their gifts and presented them soon as they walked in the door, it would have showed that they were in control of the situation. They were the ones leading. They were the ones presenting. Or at the very least, if they had presented the gifts first. It would have seemed like what happens with rulers of various areas coming to meet each other for the first time and presenting gifts from their region to each other. Yet, by the Magi kneeling down and paying him homage first, this emphasizes Jesus' rule. So when we think of the star and we think of the gifts, sometimes we can get very focused on them. But as we think of the stars and we think of the gifts, may we continue to look to see, what does that star point to? What do those gifts say about who Jesus is? Now, the Magi, they arrive with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. If you've ever had a baby, probably if someone showed up to your baby shower with gold. Now, gold, now we might be like, all right, cool, gold. We'll accept that. But frankincense and myrrh, there would be a part of you that would say, really? Like, not bottles or diapers or wipes, frankincense and myrrh. And don't get me started on the little drummer boy. You'd be like, you go away now. But they bring these three gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And these were very significant and symbolic gifts. Gold was the precious metal of kings. Once again, the Magi recognizing the kingship of Jesus. Frankincense, which would have been used in temple worship, a gift of divinity. And then myrrh, a spice used in burials. These three gifts, as I said, were very symbolic and very significant. These gifts would have been appropriate for a king, for a God, and for a suffering redeemer. But these gifts can also point to our response. Gold, signifying virtue or good deeds. Incense, signifying worship and prayer. Or myrrh, focusing on our own suffering and sacrifice. When we read this story of the star and the Magi and the gifts, it's important for us to reflect on, how does this passage of Scripture connect with my life? Not only what is it telling me, but what is it asking me to go and to do? And so we find, as we continue on to that last verse, in verse 12, it says that the Magi were warned in a dream not to return to Herod and to return to their own country by another route. And if you notice within that passage, there is no suggestion that this star that led them to Jesus, it didn't lead them back home. That star would eventually fade. But they had a different light now. On that first part of their journey, they needed that star to guide them, to lead them, to be like a GPS, if you will, to lead them to Jesus. But now that they had met Jesus, they had encountered the true light. They had encountered the light of God, Jesus the Christ. So instead of following this bright star in the sky home, they now had their hearts inflamed by the Messiah. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us now? You know, throughout Christmas, we have celebrated the arrival of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We have read many Bible verses. We have sung many Christmas carols. We have been overjoyed. We have bowed down. We have humbled ourselves and worshiped God. Now, as we prepare to leave, May we go as the Magi, with inflamed hearts transformed by the light of God, as we go out into the world worshiping Jesus as our King, our God, and our suffering Redeemer. May we go into the world living out these good deeds of the faith, of being people that live lives of worship and prayer and being willing to suffer and sacrifice as we lay down our lives for our Messiah. Amen.